Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Westwood One. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint Reach.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Thursday, November 29th, 2018, your daily source for esports and video game discussion. I want to thank everyone listening on WWKB 1520 in Buffalo and ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, and 1200 AM in Syracuse, New York, as well as all of our podcast listeners listening to Checkpoint XP Daily on our podcast over at CheckpointXP.com. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk for the latest in the world of gaming and esports. Plus, we're going to give you parents out there a little bit of help and put together Checkpoint XP's holiday buying guide. But we start today with loot boxes.
Oh, they're back.
Yes, they are back.
My mouth a little bit.
Ever since the concept of loot boxes exploded into the mainstream last year with Battlefront 2, we've kept a close eye on the situation, and now it looks like the government is getting ready to get involved. Joining me is the Checkpoint Radio crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
Yo.
And over at the Checkpoint News, that's Joe Sloan.
Take a look. Man. All right, so you want to talk about the gift that keeps on giving. It is the loot boxes story. It seems
I'm tired
like
of this. Every, it's been a minute, though.
It has been a minute, but it
has been,
like,
yeah.
On average, every other month, we have to talk about it. But this is an important moment because the United States government is finally set to get involved. The Federal Trade Commission is going to be launching an investigation into loot boxes and their effect on children.
Now, I think that this is going to be hugely important and transformative. First of all, I mean, it should stand to note that most of the releases that we've seen lately have been far more upfront about the way that they do microtransactions. So I think that the industry has moved away from this practice, and probably, you know, within good reason.
At least the most sinister, predatory practice.
Yes.
A lot of new games in the scene have been like, we need to take a healthy step away from that.
And I think that that's fair. You know, the FTC getting involved, I think, is the only body that could get involved here, unless a judge sort of stepped in. Like, it would have to be like a personal litigation thing. But this is, I think, appropriate for the FTC to investigate. And, you know, I bet if I was a game producer, if I was a game dev right now, I would be massively concerned that they would come back and there would be some kind of retroactive law that punished me, you know, for what I, you know, for maybe like Battlefront 2 for what they did.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Habeas corpus. They can't do that.
They can't do that.
That's true.
But the thing is that, you know, let's say for games that's their entire business model, your Hearthstones and stuff like that, for instance, they're the ones that are going to have the problems moving forward because the last thing Blizzard wants is something like the people versus, you know, Activision Blizzard Entertainment, because if they, you know, they already do a better job. The gaming industry as a whole, as you said, has done a better job at disclosing the odds. But at the same time, casinos still disclose odds on certain things in certain games, or at least the illusion of the certain odds.
Sure.
That doesn't necessarily stop the practice itself from being predatory.
No, that's true. However, you check an ID before someone walks into a casino.
Exactly. And that's, I think, going to be the hugely problematic aspect here, is that the clear marketing and selling towards kids, that is the biggest problem out of this whole thing. And I think that the video game industry, for maybe the duration of a couple of years, was really running afoul of a lot of gambling laws.
Yeah, so Senator Maggie Hassan is the one who made the request. She made that request November 27th. It has been approved, and the FTC is set to undertake this investigation. And in response, the head of International Game Developers Association issued a call to action to developers to reaffirm their commitment to keeping predatory loot boxes away from children. I've never seen the gaming industry hit the panic button
Because that's
like
what
I just
is.
Saw.
Because that's what that is. And here's the thing: there is no possible way that they can actually do that.
Well,
that's unless they remove the loot box option from their game entirely. There is no way that you can sit there and say that loot boxes do not get into the hands of children.
Let's be absolutely clear about one thing, though: is that the video game industry put themselves in this position when the ESRB sat on their hands and refused to act.
Yeah.
This could have been handled internally because the ESRB is an industry organization.
Right. This could have been
nipped in the bud.
2 years
ago. This did not need to go to the FTC. The government did not need to get involved. And as a result, this is going to go very badly for more than a few games.
And I mean, you mentioned that the ESRB could have handled when they ruled or decided not to rule on it effectively. I mean, that was like before Christmas last year?
No, they decided not to rule on it. They decided not to even look at it.
Yeah.
They made a decision to not even address the issue at hand.
Which we at the time had said was a massive, massive oversight.
Massive mistake.
That's a huge mistake.
And the thing is, moving forward, is that not only is it going to impact games that are already out, but you're going to have so many games that are currently in development, especially when it comes down to mobile games and games from small studios.
Yep.
That's who it's really going to impact.
You know, looking at the way that they've already affected Blizzard games, specifically over in Belgium, I think the ones that are going to see the biggest hits are games like Hearthstone or Overwatch, which are going to have to completely redevelop the way that they reward.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. We're currently talking about the FTC getting involved in investigating loot boxes and their effects on children.
And see, Robbie, here's where I disagree with you so much, because I don't think that Overwatch will necessarily see a hit that large, because the way Overwatch is already set up, it's pretty much all cosmetic, and on top of that doesn't mean you can't have a cash shop.
Is that going to matter? Is the FTC going to be able to draw that distinction between something that's cosmetic and something that impacts the game, and how differently that is a motivator for people to spend money?
Children.
Where I think it behooves the game industry to make that distinction.
But they missed out on that opportunity.
They did, but now
they don't get a seat at the table. And here's
this is a
wide open door for federal government regulation of the video games industry. That's going to be the most long-term problematic aspect of this whole thing.
Of course, but I wasn't addressing that. I was addressing specifically the case of Overwatch and games like it, and the reason why I don't think they would be impacted that
they
hard.
Will.
No, they will.
This is
but
specifically
I don't think
looking
be
at the way
that
it affects children, and a child opening a loot box, the way that it plays with their emotions and their sense of being rewarded, doesn't matter whether or not it's a skin that does nothing or a gun that gives you an advantage.
Well, but here's the thing, though, is you have to look at the games that are going to be able to make a transition over to a cash shop versus a loot box system.
That's my point.
And Overwatch is able
they
to
do
something
that.
Like that.
Still, not only
it's still
can
going
they
to
do,
affect their bottom
not
line.
Not only
oh,
can
yeah.
they do it, of course it'll affect the bottom line. Not only could they do it, in most of these games, all you have to do is make a correction in how much in-game gold you get per level or per match or whatever. That's an adjustment that could be easily made within the game.
Absolutely.
So, for a game like Overwatch, as Joe said, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. It's going to affect all these games, bottom line. But the games that will be mostly impacted will be Hearthstone, will be games like that, that the entirety of the game is based on loot boxes.
Agreed.
It's based on the fact that you have to open them to be better at the game.
Well, and I think that, you know, a straight up microtrans system for a game like Hearthstone negatively impacts a game like Hearthstone, because loot boxes in a way are meant to mirror random card packs, and that's what you want out of a game like Hearthstone.
Right.
So what happens in that case? Does the meta for Hearthstone suddenly get destroyed?
The whole
game gets
Magic Arena and Hearthstone could be hugely threatened by
actually,
this sort of thing.
Hold on. on, because if Hearthstone has to go to a model that doesn't have random packs, right? Like, let's say they just reward you with the dust, which you use to craft your cards, it could actually end up being a lot better for players, because now they're spending less money to get cards they want instead of trying to throw money to get cards they need.
But that destroys replay value that game.
Well, and I think overall, Nate, you hit on maybe the most important point of all of this, is that Pandora's box is officially open.
Yes.
The government has for the first time said, nope, the gaming industry is not able to self-regulate. It's time for us to investigate. And you don't get to put the cat back in the bag.
You can't discount or downplay the importance of a decision like this. The government now does. And remember, Senate hearings are not the government getting involved with an industry. It's only if after they choose to regulate it afterwards that it becomes problematic. And with the FTC getting involved, this is a way for the government to come in and regulate the video games industry in some form or fashion. And I think that that's a bit dangerous.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, I wouldn't say the window's completely closed, but with the investigation set to get underway, it's the 11th hour.
Yeah.
If the gaming industry doesn't do something immediately to show, like, with this investigation, they have to go into this investigation and see, oh no, the changes that need to be made are being put into place now. You're out of time.
I don't know that that's even.
I don't think that's a reality.
I think, again, when we saw the ESRB sit on its hands and not make a decision on this and actively take themselves out of it so that these companies could make more money, then I think that sent a clear signal to the government that we need to get involved
here. I think you rightfully forfeit your seat at the table at that point.
I agree. And again,
I'm not often one for government oversight, but I think it's there.
Me neither, but again, when you walk yourself into the situation, it's hard for me to have any kind of sympathy for you. Mm-hmm. But listen, we got to leave the discussion right there. We want to hear from you. Have we opened Pandora's box, or will this kind of maybe be a good thing? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to attempt to help some parents out there and make Checkpoint's first holiday buying guide. That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Is Ninja going to be branching out from Fortnite? We'll tell you about it.
Gaming news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, are you confused about what to get your kids for the holidays? Well, we're going to try to help out with Checkpoint XP's holiday buying guide. That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Joe. He's over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointRadio.com.
Ninja is, of course, known for his Fortnite streaming and tournament play, but now he's teased running something for a new title. He teased he's, quote, cooking up something for the fighting/Smash community. With Smash Ultimate's release date right around the corner, we're expecting some sort of tournament for the event of that game.
Oh, so long as Rick and Morty and Logic don't show up, this is going to be great.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Do you think it'll be like a pro-am or like a celebrity tournament?
I mean, I don't know how everyone's jumping to the idea that he's going to be doing a tournament. I think that, I mean, the tweet was so vague and cryptic. It was literally just a gif of Donkey Kong.
What if Ninja was
and along
ill
with it, no, saying what if Ninja, to get hype?
What if Ninja was ill at Smash and just never told anybody?
could be possible.
And like just enters Evo and smashes everybody.
Could be possible. We do know that he's from, you know, the Midwest Detroit area, and Smash is sort of the esport of
here.
The region around here. So that could be entirely possible. However, I think this could be as small as he's streaming on release day.
Probably.
Could be. I mean, cooking up something for the fighting / Smash community that he didn't just say the Smash community.
Okay.
That leads me to believe a tournament of some kind.
Ninja and Sonic Fox, I'm calling it.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Oh, that would be so
like
great.
Like an epic 1v1 throwdown.
I'm calling it.
That would be very cool. I would be very into that. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm interested to see what the reveal is going to be.
Blizzard and NetEase have outlined their plans for Blizzard Esports in China in 2019. One game that is going to be seeing a large boost is Warcraft 3. That's no surprise given there's an HD remaster of the game on the way, and Warcraft 3 will be joining Starcraft 2, Hearthstone, and Heroes of the Storm as major Chinese esports titles in 2019.
I'm just going to admit something a little bit stupid. When they announced Warcraft 3, the remaster...
Yeah.
Didn't even occur to me that it would now become a possible valid esport.
Yeah, honestly, it went over my head too.
I mean, Warcraft 3, one of the fundamental competitive games of the 90s.
Yeah, like it's hitting me in the forehead right now. Like, it's actually brilliant. There is an opportunity there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you think the rumor has it they're bringing it up into the StarCraft 2 engine?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. That there's room for a competitive scene there.
Yeah. Yep.
The Southeast Asian Games are going to be held in the Philippines in 2019. The chairman of the planning committee has now confirmed that esports will indeed be a medal sport in the games this year. While the specific titles haven't been announced yet, we know that there will be 6 in play, 2 for each mobile, PC, and console platforms.
Does this mean anything in light of the IOC coming out and saying that, yeah, listen, we don't think esports is sports?
I think it depends on how successful it is.
Which I think it'll be very successful.
I mean, granted, yeah, you know, like, the Olympics isn't dumb. They're going to follow the money trail and the numbers trail wherever it leads, but I don't know that this is necessarily a huge step into.
It's not a game, but think about how long it took them to put something like skateboarding into the Summer Games. That's just now coming around for the next games in Tokyo.
No, you're right.
I think this more just speaks to me to the region. The Southeast Asia, yeah, that's a place where esports makes sense, apparently.
Yeah, and they're willing to embrace it. I just don't know that worldwide everyone else is ready to embrace it, you know?
Fortnite has broken another incredible milestone. As of this month, they have officially surpassed 200 million registered players.
Wow.
That marks a 60% increase since June, and for context, World of Warcraft Lifetime has had just over 100 million active accounts.
Now,
Numenera is over.
Let me just say, okay, that there is two generations of Fortnite players that were not even remotely interested in World of Warcraft. But when I was home with my family over Thanksgiving, and I was visiting with my cousins and various other, like, I grew cousins that I didn't know I had. They're like, I only used to have 3, but now they're suddenly like 7 kids over at the house for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Wow.
And I'm very confused. I don't know what it is, but anyway, so I have like a bevy of kids just deluging questions at me. Is this game like Fortnite? Do you know Ninja? Do you know Dr. Lupo? Do you know Tim the Tap Man? Do you know? And I'm just like, oh my god, okay, this needs to chill. But Fortnite really is this sort of like phenomenon unlike anything else I've seen in my lifetime.
There, 200 million registered users. There's only 227 million people in the United States. The population of Fortnite is almost bigger than that of America.
The third largest country on Earth.
I mean, the statistics...
Fortnite is the fourth biggest country on Earth.
I'm just saying, the statistics are a little bit dubious. Oh, I don't know how they're counting them, but okay.
Nation.
We'll give them that, sure.
All right, on a not-so-bright note for Fortnite, their esports scene continues to face struggles. People ask for a truly open tournament, which meant online accessibility, and that is exactly what they got in the Winter Royale. However, cheating has marred the event, with favorites like Tfue being able to show they were taken out by aimbots.
I don't get how this game that has generated so much money just refuses to have private servers for their tournaments.
It really is kind of crazy, but I mean, like, people have been asking for open tournaments.
No, I totally get the struggle.
Yes, and I get it because, like, how do you monitor something like that? As Epic, like, how do you make sure...
Stop listening to the idiots who want open tournaments.
But how
don't
do
it.
But if you are doing an open tournament, how do you make sure that aimbotting and cheating isn't happening? That's the complication around an open tournament like that.
Because the theory of an open tournament is a good one, and I like the idea that Epic said, like, listen, the open tournament space, the idea of an esport that anyone can participate in...
I love the
But again, it's just a good idea, especially when you haven't figured out your esports apparatus. How can you do this and have open tournaments when you haven't figured all the other stuff out yet?
I get that. But I mean, I think that's the whole arc of, like, because the Skirmish series was closed. Those weren't open tournaments. People were asking for open tournaments. They gave them that. And now we're seeing the complications around it. And I think that this is just a big experiment to figure out and pin down exactly how they want their competitive scene to move forward.
You have $1 million open event. Yeah, it's going to attract cheaters.
Exactly.
DreamHack has struck a partnership with Psyonix for 2019 that'll see Rocket League come to 4 major DreamHack events. The first 2 events have been announced as DreamHack Leipzig and DreamHack Dallas. Both will be $100,000 events.
Good. That is exciting.
Good. I want more Rocket League.
When I was out at the Rocket League Championship Series, the one thing I heard from players and from casters all over the place was, God, we need more live events in front of live audiences. We need to be getting out from just doing those studio events
exactly.
or over LAN or things like that. We need things where we're in front of people.
And they have the talent, like the broadcast talent, to be able to deliver that. And I think that, you know,
the game is inherently compelling.
Absolutely. I think that DreamHack is a perfect partner, and I wish them all the best. I think that that's going to be very fruitful for them.
That's all for the Checkpoint Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. No one would argue that Awesome Games Done Quick is a pretty worthwhile cause. The biannual charity event brings together speedrunners from around the world to raise money playing games that they love as fast as they can. However, 2 well-known streamers will not be representing the event this year.
Yeah, so well-known streamers are White Goose, who chronicles speedrunning on his YouTube channel, and Graviton, who speedruns classics from the N64 era, have been banned from AGDQ 2019 and indefinitely.
Wow.
Tell them why.
I almost feel like I should have to, like, recuse myself as the only LGBT member of the cast. However, they were caught using derogatory language about women and trans individuals in Discord. Really... really messed up stuff.
It's really terrible.
Talking about likening the role of women to, you know, their preferred role as caregivers.
Yeah.
Talking about using things like transfer, and talking about how you have to look at pictures of women and look for Adam's apples and stuff nowadays.
It was stuff that you thought people stopped doing, like, in the 90s.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
People need to understand that what happens on their Discord server is not inherently private.
No,
like, there's no right to privacy for anyone on any of those services.
What upsets me the most, doesn't surprise me, none of this surprised me, but what upsets me the most is the fact that they did this in what they thought was a private setting. That means you know that it's wrong.
First of all, it's stupid because there's no such thing as a private setting when it comes to online anything.
Fair. Especially not for a well-known
The only thing that is private is literally turning both of your phones off and sitting in a closet and talking to each other face-to-face. That's the only thing akin to privacy that we have.
Yeah.
This, again, is another example of just how toxic and terrible and awful that the video games industry and the video game streamers and personalities culture can be sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know that that's an industry thing. It is definitely
a culture thing. And Robbie, you're correct. That's just another example of how toxic it can be. And, like, you know, do this. Call them out. Expose them. If you were in that Discord, expose them.
And not
them.
Only that, but I think I think that AGDQ made the right call.
Of course
here.
They
now,
did.
Initially, they were reluctant to do anything because they couldn't verify who it was. However, since public outcry basically forced their hand on that one, and now our White Goose has come out and apologized. No comment yet from Graviton, but... yeah, it's a mess. And, dude, you said some messed up stuff.
That's some pretty scummy behavior. And that's really disappointing for some, you know, some streamers who did some really good work with AGDQ in the past. And, you know, it's disappointing. But, I mean, like, listen, like, you got to check those kinds of things, man. Like, there is no setting, like Nora said, that is inherently private. And if you think it's going to offend someone, maybe just don't say it.
Don't say it.
We want to hear from you. Do you think that AGDQ you made the right call here. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint, with the holidays around the corner, you might be wondering what to get the gamer in your life. We'll try to help you out with the Checkpoint XP Holiday Buying Guide. Stick around, that conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP and Westwood One.
This is Checkpoint Radio. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening out in Colorado on ESPN Denver 1600, 104.3 The Fan, as well as Extra Sports 1300 in Colorado Springs. Enjoy your esports mystery. Listen, make sure you're following us on Twitch at our freshly partnered Twitch channel. That's right, we're included in the Cool Kids Club over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of new emotes, including each of our wonderful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes. There's only one place to get them. That's over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. The holidays can be kind of a tough time, dealing with crowds, confusing sales, and even more confusing wish lists. Well, we're going to try to help you out. We've got a list of some of the hottest gaming items that are sure to be on wish lists all over the place. So we're going to try to help you out by explaining which age groups those products are appropriate for. Because I can tell you, as a former GameStop employee, that is the question that you get asked the most often. You have someone who comes in and they pick up a game off the shelf.
Excuse me, dearie.
Yes,
is this appropriate for my 12-year-old?
This game is on my son's wish list for Christmas. He really wants it. Is this something that's appropriate for him to play?
And you go, that's what?
That's Grand Theft Auto 5. No.
No, you that's manhunt, lady. Your son's a psychopath.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and instead, here, let me recommend Dark Souls to him. This is a really great RPG that will teach him a very important lesson about requesting your mom for Grand Theft Auto 5.
That's Last Remnant. Don't get him that. What are you doing?
That really
is a Merry Christmas or not?
That's really is a punishment. Let me be clear about that.
So we broke this up into three categories. Games that are appropriate for preteen, 13 to 18, and 18 and up. We figure those are pretty safe.
Yeah, so categories, anything younger than 13.
Sure.
Yep.
13 to 18.
Sure.
Yep.
Anyone older than 18.
All right, so let's start with one that's sure to be on a lot of lists this year, the Nintendo Switch.
Everybody.
Every bear.
Every bear.
It has games for adults, games for teens, games for preteens. Absolutely, you can get them a Nintendo Switch.
Yes.
Absolutely get them one.
And do it. Yeah, you should do it,
like,
by the way.
This should be number one on everyone's list.
You know,
if you don't realize you want it, you need this.
You know how people, like, bought Wiis for their grandparents?
Yeah.
My grandparents bought a Wii for themselves.
I think you should be buying Switches for older people to get them into
games.
Because I actually think that some of the more unique, weird Joy-Con features that the Switch has that maybe we as gamers don't use as often might
they
be really appealing to them.
Yeah.
So I think that is a very, very good gift idea.
How about the PS4 Pro? Where would you put that?
I would say
13 and up.
I would say 13 and up.
Yes.
Especially because some of these kids might need a new Fortnite machine.
And here's
The PS4 Pro is such a weird one for me because, I mean, what's the reason to get it?
I would say
4K, right?
Right. That's the only. I think that's kind of the only reason to get it. So,
because if you
maybe,
or if you didn't have a PS4,
right? That's
but
true too.
Why
but it's more expensive. Why not just get the PS4?
Because I gotta show that I'm balling.
No, see.
Okay, hold on.
Listen,
actually, to be fair, my mom's boyfriend asked, "What's a PS4 Pro? What's the difference?" I go, "That's for the pros," and he goes, "Oh, okay. I guess I don't need it then."
No, but I mean, like, here's the thing is that, like, if you have upgraded to maybe a 4K TV in your holiday purchasing,
mm-hmm.
then maybe that's a good option to get someone who's 13 and up.
And to show it off.
I don't think anyone 13 to 18 needs to, like, put that on their Christmas
but
list
how many
to,
18
upgrade, to upgrade from a normal PlayStation 4.
No.
If you're over 18 and you're making money, I think you should probably maybe make that decision yourself.
Yeah.
But that should be on very few lists
All right.
this year.
How about Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu?
Everybody.
All ages.
It's great. It's a great entry to the series. It's a wonderful nostalgia trip for anyone who has a huge attachment to Gen 1. Love it.
We'll just do these ones together. Mario Party Switch and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Everybody.
All ages.
Those are fine. I mean, if you're worried about it for your preteen, no blood, all comic mischief, you're fine.
Yeah.
Come on, if ninjas, you know, supporting at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, like, yeah, that's a safe gift for any age. I mean, the skill gap for younger than 13 on Super Smash Brothers, you know, might be a little bit difficult, but
Marvel Spider-Man, I think 13 and up.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that, you know, anyone who has an appreciation for Spider-Man is going to enjoy that game.
Civilization 6,
18 and up.
I think you can do it at 13. It's just going to be complicated.
No, and that's why I say 18 and up. Don't get me wrong. I was playing Civilization when I was a teenager, but I also acknowledge I was very weird.
You were very bad at it, too, at that time.
Terrible. I was horrible at it.
Yeah, your decision-making is compromised when you're that young. So, yeah, I'm going to agree with 18 and up, but if you have a particularly smart, like, 16-year-old,
go for it.
They might enjoy it.
Fallout 76.
18 and up.
Yeah, that's probably safe.
Online interactions not rated by the ESRB.
Yes, yeah. And you know, it's unfortunate because one of my little cousins had gotten Fallout 76 and his mom won't let him play it because it's all online and all that.
I get it.
And I understand it. And you know.
Wow, that's so nice to hear about a responsible parent.
Isn't it? It is.
And I mean, like, I actually think that was probably a smart choice on her part. So,
yeah. Call of Duty Black Ops 4.
18 and up.
I mean, people under 18 can play it,
but maybe not as a Christmas present.
Right.
There's a lot of 13-year-olds that are playing that game, but I am going to say 18.
But not for a Christmas present.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Do everyone else that favor.
Right.
Don't be that guy.
Spyro Reignited.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Although I'll say this, I think 18 up and then preteen. I think the 13 to 18-year-olds, because if you're 18 and up, you played it when it was originally out.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
And if you're young now, you'll appreciate it as a young person's game now.
Yes. I agree with that. Someone 13 to 18 doesn't have the context for when Spyro was amazing. Yeah.
I had someone on our social media question last week over at facebook.com/checkpointxp. Plans on buying it to play it with their children.
Nice. Awesome.
Great
That's
idea.
Excellent. That's a great idea.
How about Hitman 2?
Now, we had a coworker come into our office, Weird Beard of the Bounce, came into our office today.
Espousing the virtues
and
of
said,
Hitman 2.
And said, this is the greatest game, and now I'm curious. I'll be honest.
Me from the hinterland screamed out an irrevocable no.
But legitimately, his praise of it made me very curious.
Yeah. But 18 plus, probably.
Yeah.
Same for Red Dead Redemption 2.
The rest of this whole list.
18 plus.
18 plus for the rest of this
Battlefield
list.
5, 18
yeah. plus. Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey, 18 plus. God of War, definitely 18 plus. But I would think that those would be the highlights from anyone's Christmas list this year. Because those are some of the highlights of all of gaming this year.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what people are probably going to want. Then you'll have people who are going to put PS1 Classic on there. Probably
They're
18
wrong.
Plus people will put it on there.
They just have bad opinions and don't buy it for them.
Don't get that for them. There's better things. What is there anything else that we missed on this list?
I feel like
might be on some people's list.
Listen, if you're looking for something 18 plus and you've got like maybe an older gamer in your life, I think that you need to look at some apparel, T-shirts, scarves, hats that are branded for some of these things that you know
Overwatch
that they like. Overwatch jerseys, absolutely. Those are all really good. Good gifts.
I got my Team USA movie jersey on today.
The in-game currency cards for Fortnite, League of Legends.
Yes,
those are always popular.
Yeah, if you know that there's a Fortnite player in your family, Fortnite cards are always great.
If I got gifted like $50 in loot boxes.
Oh. Don't even start
don't
that.
Start no, no,
don't
no.
even start that.
And on that, events is coming up.
And on that, we got to leave the discussion right there. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as videos, podcasts, and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Corpus, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and over at the Checkpoint News Desk, Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Radio, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.